The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
And now, it's time for Radio Jobline with your host, Scott Possessor, right here on 103.9 LI News Radio.
Welcome, everybody. It must be Saturday afternoon from 2 to 3 p.m., or it might be Wednesday night from 9 to 10 p.m. We're here twice a week to talk about your career, talk about various workplace issues. Sometimes we single out an industry, talk about how it's doing, how to get into it. We talk about everything related to finding a job, resume writing, interviewing, cover letters, whatever you can possibly think of. We've been burning carrying the water, I should say, for career planning and for how to get a job on this show between television and radio for over 30 years. Tonight, we're going to be talking about manufacturing, one of those industries that people don't often enough think to go into, and we're going to try to change that, I believe. In the booth tonight, we have Brian Cohn, a good friend who's actually helped me put this show together, and we have Ron Loveland. I'll tell you all about Ron in just a minute. Before I kick the show off, though, folks, I'm not liking what I'm seeing out there. I don't know if you feel the way I do. Stock market dropped 1,000 points on Wednesday. It's been dropping. The real estate, rise in real estate is coming to an end. People are beginning to drop their prices. I think the bubble's going to burst. The supply chain problem has not gotten any better. We're going to find out more about that tonight. That's one of the reasons we're doing a show on manufacturing. But it looks to me like we're headed for a recession. I don't see how we can avoid it. There's other things that are crazy. You have all the hateful politics going on in this country. You know, now you've got Roe v. Wade that's going to get reversed after 50 years. Think about what that's going to do to the country. You got climate change. I mean, there's so many things that you could really worry about and talk about, but we just can't devote all of our time to the negative. We're going to talk about something positive tonight, which is a push to get more people involved in manufacturing, which I love to hear because I specialize in manufacturing in the executive search business, and it's nice to know more people are going to get into the field. Many of Long Island manufacturers have been participating in high school and college programs, which are helping to achieve two goals, helping our students find careers and helping businesses fill open positions. Long Island is home to approximately 3,000 manufacturers, which represents tens of thousands of positions. Many of these manufacturers are seeking new employees, and our high school and college work development counselors are guiding our students to careers. Many do this through career days at school, which is very important. And this time, instead of bringing the businesses to the schools, the Hopog Industrial Association Manufacturing Committee is presenting their career opportunities at the May 26th trade show, the annual HIA trade show. Brian's going to tell us all about in a minute, to students and career seekers alike. Let me just say a little bit about Ron Loveland, our guest. He's the owner of Summit Safety and Efficiency Solutions and co-chair of the Manufacturing Committee. He's here to explain the event and efforts of the Long Island manufacturers. Ron has over 30 years of manufacturing, industrial engineering, change management, leadership, general management, and operations experience, including over 10 years of training and consulting accomplishments. As a West Point grad, former Army officer, and business manager, Ron brings a wealth of management, leadership, and change management experience to his clients. One of Ron's most recognizable positions was as a product line manager of the Black Hawk helicopter at Sikorsky Aircraft. In his current role, Ron runs a safety, quality, and industrial engineering training and consulting firm, helping manufacturers, distributors, and construction clients to improve safety, productivity, free up working capital, and accelerate top-line growth. Welcome, Ron, to Radio Jobline.
Thank you, Scott. Appreciate the invitation.
And great to have you here, Brian, as well.
Thank you, Scott.
So, Brian, tell us a little bit about the little corner of Brian Cohen's world.
Yeah, my little corner.
I know you've got a speakers bureau. I know you're very involved now with the high schools and so on. Give us a little update on what's been happening with you.
Right. So I started the Long Island Speakers Bureau a couple of years ago, and where that has kind of taken me is it's given me a much better understanding of some of the needs that are out there and actually some of the unbelievable success stories. And a lot of those speakers that are very effective in what they're doing, they've all been through different challenges and they've all found their way eventually. It's not like any of them grew up and thinking, oh, I'm going to be a motivational speaker or a technical speaker at some point. But they've been through some things. And then I've also gotten involved with the ECNY Foundation, Executive Consultants of New York, Maria Fry. She's been on the show.
It's all right. Do a shout out. We do it almost every week for her here.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what? She's quite the motivating individual.
Right.
But from that and from my own speaking, I got involved with Maria and also with another group where I do a lot of these high school career days. Mm-hmm. And what I saw with the high school students and with speaking to some of the teachers there also is that they need more clarity as to what direction they want to go in. And it's not for me to tell them where they should be, what they should be doing. Mm-hmm. It's for themselves to say where they should be going. And so when I speak, I actually help them, hope to help them at least, identify those things that really bring them joy, that they really get excited about. Mm. And so tying the whole thing in over here with what Ron is doing, the HIA, with the trade show, which I've always been involved with in one respect or another, but specifically with what he's doing with the manufacturing committee, it's that career day. Mm-hmm. You know, last year there was a couple of schools that brought their students over to the trade show, and it was phenomenal. The students had a great time. They were able to see now hundreds of businesses as opposed to 20 or 30 businesses that would show up. And then also with speaking to the folks, the vendors at the trade show, mm-hmm. they were excited to speak to these students.
Yeah.
And some of them saw themselves as those students, you know, wide-eyed, looking at different opportunities. I didn't know you did that. I didn't know I could do these things. And mm-hmm. and that's a great thing. So yeah. That's the positive side of this whole thing.
We've got some great ground-level organizations here on Long Island. We Connect the Dots is a great IT organization that gets young people involved in IT careers, another very high-paying career path that a lot of American students do not follow, which sometimes, you know, is a little bit mind-boggling. Same thing with engineering. We've done countless shows, Brian and Ron, about getting kids into the IT field, into the engineering field. There's a certain resistance that they encounter and so on. And I believe manufacturing is another one of those fields where there's some sort of resistance. Maybe people don't think, you know, that they're going to make a lot of money in manufacturing. I don't know. Could that be it? Maybe they think it's, a building could fall on them and they'll, you know, break a finger or something. I mean, I don't know what the problem is. Maybe you can tell me. But what is the problem? I mean, why don't more people go into manufacturing?
Yeah, I think the biggest problem is manufacturing has a PR problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you talk to the average Joe on the street in Long Island, they'll say, there's no manufacturing on Long Island. Grumman left years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all gone. Mm-hmm. But as we can talk about here, anything farther from the truth. There's 3,000 manufacturers. There's tens of thousands of job opportunities out there. And, they pay a good wage. You know, the average wage in manufacturing is $87,000. So. Mm-hmm. You could have a high-paying career. You don't have a college education, but there's also college engineering-type jobs available as well. So lots of opportunities out there, and a biggest problem is that the parents and the students and the educators just don't know that it's right there. You know, for instance, I run a manufacturing day, which is the first Friday in October. And, we talked to the Hop Hog High School, which is right next to the largest industrial sector on the East Coast. You know, mm-hmm. it's the biggest industrial park on the East Coast, and people don't know about it. It's like right behind the school.
Mm-hmm.
So we took, a busload of students, the tech teachers, and we ran through four different schools. And it was eye-opening for the students as well as the teachers. Matter of fact, I love this story is... we went into Contract Pharmacol, and we just had taken a tour, and they saw how clean and interesting and lots of robotics and automation going on. And one of the kids walked up to the owner and said, I want to work here.
Mm.
You know, this is a high school kid. So that's, that was just a great story to say that, you know, you just got to introduce the students to the great opportunities here, and they'll chase it.
Yeah, I mean, we do hope that's the case. And a lot of these organizations have been working pretty hard overtime to get people into some of these more less attractive, it sounds. Like, why engineering and IT and manufacturing are not attractive, that part I can't understand, I don't understand. But it should be, and we need to push it. And what you're doing is terrific. So, first of all, Brian, let's go back to you for a minute. Tell us about the big HII event about to happen.
The HII event will be back. Mm-hmm. That's right. It's going to be back at the Suffolk County Community.
So you actually, because of COVID, missed a couple, right?
No. Nothing ever gets missed. It gets reconfigured.
Right.
We'll put it that way. So last year they did it at the Huntington Hilton. Mm-hmm. It was held over there, and I think it was a very good success. Mm-hmm. Smaller facility than the college. The year prior, it was done online, which that created rather unique opportunities, and I'd be more than happy to go into that way I took advantage of that one, because we did it online. Mm-hmm. So I actually had people participate from all around the world on that one. So that was a lot of fun. But this year it's back at the college. So it's back at the Suffolk Community College on the Brentwood campus. So it's the same facility that it's always been in. They are sold out, or there's maybe four booths left at this point in time. From the way it's structured, the same as it's been before, except the inside is a little bit different with the pavilions. But if you want to go and attend, you want to attend for free, register in advance. You show up at the door that day. It's $10. Mm-hmm. There's also a Facebook group page for the 34th Annual HIA Trade Show. So if you want to introduce yourself to the folks that will be attending the trade show in advance, a little extra networking kind of thing, you certainly could do that. And I also strongly suggest, and I've seen a lot of the vendors that are participating also putting up some information over there too, come visit us at booth number, whatever the booth numbers are. Mm-hmm. This way there's a lot of extra communication going on in that respect. And it should be great.
So you're expecting an equal crowd to what we've had in the past?
I wonder if it's going to actually be more. It's always a question, of course. Mm. You know, the online event was one thing. The Hilton was filled to capacity, we'll say. Mm-hmm. This one, a lot of pent-up demand.
Right.
So it's very possible.
All right, well, my best to Terry and everybody involved on the organization of this, and I hope it goes great.
They've been working so hard to make this thing happen, so yeah. I give them an awful lot of credit for what they're doing out there, you know, bringing it back, getting in touch with everybody again. So I think it's going to be a great show. It should be a lot of fun.
Excellent. We've got to get it in between COVIDs, you know, before there's another COVID surge, and then you can't do anything again. But all right, so now let's talk about this manufacturing pavilion. And how did that fits into all this?
Sure. So, you know, when's the last time Long Island's had a manufacturing show? Mm. To my knowledge, it's been well over a decade. I used to work at Lyft, Long Island Forum for Technology, and we had a couple of tabletop shows, but really nothing substantial. So, you know, as the manufacturing committee co-chair, I said, you know, first of all, what are the challenges that manufacturers are having? Well, first, they can't find people, right? So they need workers. Inflation is eating their lunch, supply chain problems. So what can we do as part of the show to attract manufacturers? Well, let's have some job seekers there. Let's have some students. Let's help them build their talent pipeline. And then the flip side is, okay, now how do we get job seekers and students to show up, students and parents and teachers? Well, what do kids get excited about? They get excited about technology, right? They like to build robots. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of the schools have
the first
robot competition, right? And the kids get super excited about it.
How much fun is that to watch, by the way?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's great.
It's fabulous. You know? Yep. I went to it once, and I wish I could go back.
Yeah.
It was really good.
Yeah, there you go, Ron. This next year's project.
Yeah, all right. So we'll have first competition at the show. Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah, that's right. In this corner.
Yeah, so, you know, what do we do to get the kids excited about it? Well, it's technology, right? So let's have the manufacturers come, but also bring their automation partners, right? So the guys that are doing robots and cobots and drones and automation and packaging equipment. So it's exciting, right? It attracts the kids. And also, you know, for a lot of manufacturers, they're having trouble finding people, so they have to automate, right? They have to get the labor out of it. So, you know, we're trying to hit a lot of different themes to attract both the manufacturers as well as the students, parents, and educators. And I think we hit a chord this year because we've had a great, you know, interest and turnout. The other thing we're going to be doing is in the breakout panels is talk about the collaboration finally going on between industry, manufacturers, and schools, right? Mm. At Longwood High School, they have this classroom to careers program where they start off in ninth grade and they basically do aptitude testing for the kids and interest testing. You know, you got to find your passion and then chase that passion, right? How many kids get to senior year and say, I'm graduating next week, and it's like, now what do I do?
Right.
You know? So it's exciting to see that. East-West Industries over in right here in Ronkonkoma have had interns come, high school interns come from Longwood. There was an article in Newsday not long ago about Chloe Cabral, one of the interns that ended up working at East-West Industries, and now she's, you know, she got some interest, she got some passion. She sees, she likes working with her hands, she likes doing the work there. So. Mm. So we're going to talk, you know, Longwood School is going to talk about their program. East West is going to talk about their collaboration. We also have, last night I was at a ribbon cutting program at West Islip High School. They have established a manufacturing, a machining section along with their automotive section to train students. And this is where... this is where the first robotics team hangs out, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So they start with a block of metal and they, you know, they machine it out and create the structure for the robot. They do the electronics, they do the controls, they do the pneumatics. Great skill sets that will, you know, bring manufacturing skills into the schools. It's interesting that at the ribbon cutting last night was Rob Asaldi, who is now a senior manufacturing engineer at CPI Aero. He was a student for one of these teachers that created this program, and now he's back and helping support that and develop the next generation. Matter of fact, he had his 7-year-old son there with him last night, you know, bringing him in. So finally, you know, manufacturing industries getting together with schools and introducing students to these, you know, CNC machining, to laser cutting, to welding. And this is a crossover to a lot of the automotive groups as well. Matter of fact, Rob was talking about he brought his father's GTO in, you know, 20 years ago. He was working out in the shop and, you know, developed those basic skills.
Let's do a little sidebar. So what you've been talking about is the CNC and the laser cutting and things like that. But there are a lot of executive level jobs in manufacturing. Let's give the full picture. So, you know, when I was placing for Harris, you know, a company that I worked for, mm-hmm. I was placing engineers, senior engineers, right. Program managers, who are managing little programs or very large programs. Mm-hmm. Could be 5 million, could be 20 million programs. You have a giant accounting and financial analysis department there. You have every department that you might find at any company in America is also at a manufacturing company. So I don't understand why people don't see manufacturing companies as just regular employers.
Because maybe they don't see it, like physically see it. And that's why I think this trade show and the robotics and bringing a race car down and actually showing these things. So now the students could see it, really physically see it. Mm. And you're right. You know, there's a ton of managerial level positions that are, you know, get created. And in my experience with different managers, the best managers are the ones that have worked their way up and they still get it. They understand what it's like to be an employee, how to motivate the employee all the way on up. So the multitude, I mean, we could talk about marketing, talk about anything that's inside of these companies.
Right.
PR.
Right.
I didn't realize about the PR with the manufacturing.
That's a problem.
That might be something to explore
now,
over there.
Is it still aerospace dominated, though? I mean, looking at the manufacturing sector on Long Island, it used to be, you know, Grumman and then everybody else.
Right.
Very manufacturing centric. What is it now?
Yeah. I mean, there's still a strong aerospace defense manufacturing sector here. Mm-hmm. However, it's not like it was in Grumman. You know, it's I think number Rosalie Drago, who's now the Suffolk County Commissioner, was at Workforce Development WDI, and she did a study a few years ago and showed that the biopharma nutraceutical is number one, medical device is number two, and then I think aerospace defense was number three. But it was, you know, it's still a strong sector. Matter of fact, I'm on the ADAPT board, Aerospace Defense Manufacturing Trade Group. And there's, you know, you got East-West Industries, CPI Aero, like you say, Harris, GNK, you know, you've got, You got some major BAE, you got some major Telefonics, you got some major aerospace defense manufacturers still here. So it's not gone.
And I've noticed that they're struggling to find people.
Everybody is struggling.
The talent pool has dried up a little bit. You know, when some of the companies moved off Long Island, they took their employees with them or they retired and did something else. You know, and a lot have shifted over to the pharmacological, biopharma, biotechnology. So that's still manufacturing.
Mm-hmm. You know,
and that's growing on Long Island.
Absolutely.
But I think aerospace has been fading a little bit.
I don't know if it, yes, I guess overall it's been fading. Mm-hmm. However, you know, you've got some growing aerospace defense manufacturers. You know, Telefonics still has a, you know, sizable organization, BAE. You know, a lot of these companies are still strong. Mm-hmm. I think the smaller machine shops and some of the support organizations have faded, you know, as far as the manufacturing here, but it's, you know, still a good strong sector.
All right, we'll talk about the other sectors when we come back. You're listening to Radio Jobline with Scott Possessor. It's a special show because when we do something for students and we involve the community with the students, I'm always for it. You know, when Brian told me about this, I said, Brian, no, yes, right? Because I like the idea. If you have an idea for Radio Jobline and would like to be on the show, you can write to me, scottp118@gmail.com. I'm happy to have you or your idea on the radio show. We've been coming up with a lot of great ideas for upcoming shows, doing a lot of industry specialization. Once again, if you have an idea and like to be on the show, scottp118@gmail.com. We'll be back with Ron Loveland and Brian Cohn after this break. Stay with us, everybody.
And now, welcome back to Radio Jobline with your host, Scott Possessor, right here on LI News Radio.
Welcome, everybody. You're listening to Radio Jobline with Scott Possessor. We have Ron Loveland with us, a fantastic representative of the manufacturing business, talking about some events coming up and how to get more people into the manufacturing sector. We also have Brian Cohn in the studio. Brian is he's become a friend over the years and sent me guests all over the place from my radio program. So thank you so much, Brian. And Brian's involved with the big HIA trade show coming up. What's the date for that?
That is May 26th. It's 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. You could register by going to the website, HIA-LI. And it's free to attend if you register in advance. $10 if you walk in at the door. My suggestion would be, give them your name. Register in advance. They'll get your email address.
You said HIA-LI, is it .org?
It is .org.
Okay, because I want to make sure they have the full website. One more time, give us the full website.
HIA-LI.org.
Okay, if you've never been to the Hobog Trade Show, industrial, what's it, you know, it's probably going on for how many years?
34
years?
Yes.
So you're missing something, because half of Long Island, it seems, shows up and gets a booth and sells their wares to people that come by.
Yeah, you're talking hundreds of exhibitors, all different types of exhibitors. I know we're focused here on the manufacturing side, but mm-hmm. It's a wide variety of exhibitors that are there. There are different pavilions with different focuses on different industries. You got a load of people that are going to just be attending that have registered just to go. And that number should, my guess is that number is going to be in the thousands this year. I think a lot of folks have just like looking for a reason to get out.
Yeah.
Because networking over the past couple of years has been sporadic, I'll use that word.
Right.
So this is an opportunity to do it. It's a nice big building, plenty of ventilation.
Right.
And we get a chance to see everybody again.
You know, Brian, we had a show about a month ago. It was a trade show expert. And I'll be darned if I can remember his name, but he was really good. He was excellent. And we talked about the real way to use trade shows to make money as a real marketing and sales tool by kind of pre-populating who is going to be there for the demonstrations, giving them certain hours where they should be there, almost setting up an appointment.
Absolutely.
With a potential customer. So I wonder, is that same thing going on at the HIA trade show?
That's how I approached it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's funny, that's how I actually got introduced to the HIA. It was through Arthur Germain, Brand Storytelling is the name of the company. I called up Terry Maselli. I was like, oh, you know what we should do, what you should do actually, would be to help the vendors in advance about how they could increase foot traffic. Mm-hmm. And one of them was to say, hey, you know, I'll be at booth number, whatever. But the biggest thing would be to set up appointments.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk reality here, right? You have a certain amount of time over the course of your day, and if you go out to lunch with everybody over the course of the month, it costs money to do, it costs time to do. So why not? And these, you know, the folks that you really want to meet, you meet, right? But those that you probably want to get together with, invite them. And I hope my friends don't hear me on this one, but you invite them to your booth. Say, look, why don't you come by my booth at 10 o'clock? I'll set, you know, set some time aside. We'll meet. And then maybe I'll introduce you to somebody else. Mm-hmm. And then so if I know somebody who I think would be a good guest for you, we'll use your Scott as the example. So Scott, come visit my booth 10 o'clock. We'll chat. Hey, it's great being on show, la la. And then I'll introduce you to your guests. And I was like, well, I'll call Ron. I said, Ron, you know, 10:15, why don't you swing by the booth?
Right.
We'll do that. So here's what happens. I'm now bringing people to the trade show that maybe or maybe not would have attended. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you guys would attend. Now you show up, mm-hmm. right? So I provide value to you by introducing you to Ron. Mm-hmm. Ron likes the fact that he's introduced to you. I'm now out of the equation. Mm-hmm. I get myself ready for the 11 o'clock appointment and do mm-hmm. the same thing all over again.
Yeah, I remember going to, it was about 5 or 10 years ago, I went to one of those recreational vehicle trade shows. Okay, and these are expensive items, guys. This is not a cheap item. Mm. So we're talking about a $75,000 item. And right while I was standing there, you know, like, look, I got out of one of the trailers and I go over to the booth to talk to, I had a couple of questions, you know, because I think, you know, my wife and I have talked about when I retire, maybe we can buy one of these and travel the country and it's not such a bad idea. And a guy comes over and he's talking to him for like 5 minutes and I see him writing a check. He wrote a check for $75,000 right there in front of me. And I thought, wow, trade shows are really great. You know, you can make a fortune. So I guess it depends on what you're selling, you know, and whether or not it costs that much money.
But you also have no idea how many prior conversations took place.
Right.
It could have been a targeted, like if I was selling, you know, recreational vehicles like that, who am I going to invite to the trade show? Mm-hmm. I'm not going to wait for the trade show to invite people to the trade show. Mm-hmm. You know, they're just looking for general attendance. I'm looking for people approaching retirement that mm-hmm. like to travel, that mm-hmm. want to go and go cross country. So right. you do a target mailing
right.
or target social media,
right.
but, right? However, but you do a target mailing to that audience. And now what you're doing is you're saving yourself a lot of time, energy, and effort mm-hmm. by bringing them to you as opposed to you going to them. It looks good. And we all know, too, if you have a booth and you have foot traffic at your booth and you're walking down and Ron's walking down the aisle, what's he going to do? He's going to look over and say, what's going on over there?
Right, right. There's a lot of chaos. People come right over.
Right. And, Scott's giving away good second
right,
candy.
Right, right, right. Which I do.
So there's ways to do it. Absolutely.
All right. So we don't see enough. Or let me just say, I don't see enough because I'm a social media guy. I can't help it. I'm in the executive search business. I have to publicize some of the things that I'm working on and do shout outs to my companies and my people that have gotten jobs and so on and so on. So I'm always on social media. I don't see that much from manufacturing companies. Teresa does a fantastic job from East West.
Absolutely.
You see 4 or 5, you know, companies that are doing, but mostly they're not manufacturers. They're service companies or
right.
part of a different industrial sector. So why is that?
Yeah, I think that most of the manufacturers here are outward facing, right? So, you know, you got people like Teresa Ferraro, who's president of East West Industries. You know, their focus is Boeing, Lockheed, Airbus, you know, the big aerospace companies. So that's kind of where their focus is. But Teresa also realizes that, hey, I need to be locally focused to be able to get the workforce here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where manufacturers are missing it. That needs to be addressed by the manufacturers. I mean, they do have great marketing firms, but they're focused on the trade shows where, you know, where their customers are.
Right.
So, that would be a piece of advice, that I'd like to pass along to the manufacturers to say, hey, remember to get on social media. And East West has done a great job of, you know, they have busloads of kids come through all the time, not mm-hmm. just manufacturing day, not just, you know, during the time when they have to get people out there. So they constantly realize they have to build that pipeline. And I think that's, you know, you're talking about what advice should we give to manufacturers. You gotta think strategically. You gotta look down the road. You gotta think 10 years ahead and say, you know, where am I going to get my next employees? Mm-hmm. You can't wait to, unfortunately, a lot of the machine shops have waited to the last minute. You know, they got an 80-year-old tool and die maker who finally, you know, retires, and it's like, oh, we haven't developed that next level. Mm. So, you know, they really have to develop that talent pipeline. And, well, you know, one of the ways, like you say, is get the word out, because the parents are key to that. And that's one thing that Longwood High School has done with the Classrooms to Careers program, is they involve the parents so that the parents are supporting the children when they get excited about robotics and they get excited about manufacturing. Because, as a matter of fact, we had this conversation at the HIA Education Committee the other day. Mary Pat Grafstein, who's the WECA teacher up at Smithtown High School, was saying, yeah, the kids come out to manufacturers, they get excited about it, they see the automation, they see the possibilities, they go home, and then the parents are saying, I don't get this. I don't know where you're getting that from. Or, you know, he gets the teenager, you know, what'd you do today? Oh, nothing. So you got to get the parents involved in the process as well.
I agree completely about the parents. When I worked at Stony Brook, we did a lot of outreach to our technology companies to come and do some sort of a trade show, mm-hmm. and show the kids. And I remember, I'll never forget this, Cisco showed up. And they were one of our first customers at CWIT, the Center of Excellence in Wireless Information Technology at Stony Brook. And they gave all the kids a little cart, and they told the kids to look, walk anywhere in the room and come back. And then they pressed play, and the kids saw his own badge being caught on the screen, walking around from whatever direction he was in. And I'll never forget, I looked in one kid's eyes, and he'll never forget this. He was so like, wow, that was so cool that this thing tracked me everywhere I went, including the bathroom. And when I came out, and so he was able to track his own steps. So I think it's fabulous when you can show, and I think the robotics is the cool thing that they can show. But guys, I think we have another problem if we're going to talk about manufacturing, the supply chain. This supply chain issue is crushing America right now. I mean, when I look at these poor moms who can't get formula,
yeah,
for their babies, you know, your heart goes out to them.
Absolutely.
And I mean, what are they doing? How do you do it? Do you make formula? Is it safe? You know, is there some sort of internet formula that you follow? I don't know what they're doing. You know, I you can buy it on Amazon, but it's 14 days before it ships, and then God knows when it arrives. And plus, it's $76 for right. 4 cans. I mean, it's crazy. Yeah. But I don't think, this wasn't Donald Trump, this wasn't Joseph Biden, this wasn't Democrats, this wasn't Republicans, this was COVID. And people have to remember not to blame the wrong party. COVID caused this entire supply chain disaster. Where is it going? How does it look to you? Is there any hope that it's going to get better?
Well, part of the challenge that we ran into with COVID was, hey, we don't have ventilators, we don't have masks, we don't have PPE, we don't have protective equipment. So a lot of that was onshore, right, brought back to the states so we'd have some local supply. Mm-hmm. But we have a long way to go, right? You know, when China shuts down for COVID, that just really creates a big problem, you know, just the basic supplies and the cost. The other problem is truckers. You know, we don't have enough truck drivers to be able to get it from the ports to, you know, wherever we need it here in the area.
But that, you know, that was common knowledge a year ago. Why yeah. hasn't something been done about it? Why don't we just pay the truckers more? Why doesn't the government subsidize the companies to give more money? Anything to get that supply chain moving again so we can have a decent economy.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Unfortunately, you know, a lot of these things take time, right? You have to go, you know, get your CDL license. You have to find people interested in doing that. And again, it's developing that pipeline. You know, the trucking companies, as well as everybody else, have to reach into the schools, excite the kids about the possibility, you know, the pay or whatever it is that's the incentive to get the students interested.
But that's also a good paying field. You yeah. get a lot of independence. A lot of people love to drive. You know, my brother was a truck driver for a while, and he loved it. You know, yeah. just being in the truck all day and taking care of it, and he could really whip that thing around. You know, I mean, it depends on what kind of a driver you are.
Right. It's an interesting lifestyle. I've thought about that, doing that for a summer.
Yeah.
It's like, it would be, you know, interesting. I always find it interesting to see what other people go through in their careers and what they do and how they do it. Mm-hmm. That would be an interesting one. I don't know if I'd be cut out for it, but it's a lifestyle. Yeah. That's an absolute lifestyle.
But I think because of this great resignation that we're dealing with, another issue not caused by anything but COVID, okay? But the great resignation is saying, no, don't work at a job if you're not happy, if you have to be alone all day or drive 12 hours at a time or you're not making enough money or you don't have the benefits that you want. So people are saying, I'm not going to do it anymore. Mm-hmm. And people are just quitting. So this attitude of the great resignation is also, I think, a factor here. One of the reasons why the supply chain is still sweating the way it is.
It is, but it's funny. We're telling that to the students. You should go figure out what you really want to do and follow your passion. So now all of a sudden the older generations are actually listening to what we're saying.
Yeah.
And like, you know what? This is really not worth it. I don't want to commute into the city 2 hours in, 2 hours back each and every day. Maybe there's some other way of doing it. And a lot of jobs, a lot of careers, you know, can be done differently online and can be just as effective. There are a few that obviously you can't. I have, you know, manufacturing certainly being one. You do need to be there to operate the machinery, but then, you know, I don't know. Another 5 years from now, we'll see what happens when this conversation happens again. It's like, well, there's no more shortage of truck drivers because there's no more drivers. Mm-hmm. The trucks are out there. It's all self-driving trucks, automation. You know, you go back, right? If we go back to the beginning of the Industrial Revolution to where we were to 50 years from there and then another 50 years forward, how many people don't we need in manufacturing? Mm-hmm. What'll happen 50 years from now?
Interesting.
I'll let you answer that one, Ron. I'm not going near that.
Go ahead, Ron.
Yeah, so...
Where are we in 50 years?
Yeah, that's a very good question. Certainly, technology is going to be completely different. You know, you think just 10 years ago, you know, you watch an old movie and you see somebody with a flip phone and say, wow, that must be an old movie because, you know, nowadays it's smartphones. Mm-hmm. You don't need a PDA. You don't need all these different technologies. You know, one of the issues with... the labor situation is you have to automate, right? You have to get a lot of the labor out of the process because you just can't find people and you have to figure out ways to do it with automation. You know, the other thing talking about, you know, the lack of labor is the daycare situation, right? Mm-hmm. You know, they say that, you know, there's a lot of women not working because they're home taking care of their kids. And I know my daughter who's got a 20-month-old at home, and she's a teacher in high school, and she's pregnant, expecting again. But you know, half the time she's got to stay home because the daycare shut down because they had a COVID case there. You know,
right.
So it's a continuing issue. But you know, what are companies doing about it? Have you thought about setting up daycare in your facility? Mm. Right, there are some companies doing that. You know, if you want to have an attractive retention program, what are you doing to keep the employees there? What are their problems? What are their issues? Is it transportation? Is it daycare? Whatever it might be, what are you doing as a business owner, as a company, to try to accommodate those folks?
You know, if you're listening to the show tonight, you're seeing how all of these things are interrelated.
Absolutely.
You know, So it isn't just one problem. It's like a domino effect. Yeah. You know, once the domino started falling, they just kept falling. And things kept getting affected and kept getting affected. Recently, I made the mistake of flying.
Okay, go ahead.
And I was down in Florida, and I visited my brother, and I was there for a week, not even. And the day before I was supposed to come back, there was a storm. I admit it. There was a storm. It was rain. Okay. It wasn't a monsoon. It wasn't a hurricane. It wasn't a tornado, but it was a pretty bad storm. And by 9 o'clock at night, it was over. I wasn't supposed to fly out till 10 o'clock the next night. So I figure it's not going to affect me. 24 hours later, they're going to figure it out. So I get to I'm on my way to the airport. I had already checked the flight. Everything was fine. I'm on my way to the airport. I get an alert on my phone. Your flight is going to be 43 minutes late. So I said, who cares? I'm leaving at 10 o'clock at night. I don't care what time the flight leaves. So I was fine with it. I get to the airport. I look at the big board. The minute I get into the airport, I'm in Orlando, right? As soon as I go in there, my flight is not on the big board.
Uh-oh.
It doesn't say it was canceled. It's no flight. It's like Twilight Zone. So I'm like, what do you mean? What do you mean my flight's not on the big? So I had a boarding pass. So I go to the gate that I'm supposed to be. And this guy, you know, like with a flippant attitude, it's like, oh, that flight was canceled. Well, so like, what am I supposed to do? What do I do now? He says, well, you got to go back on the tram. You got to go back into the main terminal and you got to get online to get a new ticket. So I'm like, wonderful, fantastic, right? Yeah. Now it's getting to close to 11 o'clock at night. So now we go back on the tram, because everything's a tram in Orlando. Mm-hmm. So you go back on there, you get back into the main terminal. What line do I get on? The ticket buying line, wouldn't you? Wouldn't that be the logical move?
Makes sense.
Sounds good.
So I get on a ticket and I'm on that line for an hour. So now it's midnight. I get to the counter and the woman says, sir, you're on the wrong line.
No.
So like nobody was directing traffic, right? Somebody should have prevented this from happening.
Right.
So somebody should have said, you are getting on the wrong line. Get on the right line. So she said, you need to be on that line. And I take a look at the line. It's about 3 football fields long.
Oh, no.
And it's midnight.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, my brother's already back. It's an hour ride. He's back in wherever he lives. So the issue that we have, he's in New Smyrna Beach, an hour away from. So now I got no ride home. You can't get a hotel room. So I'm staying on this line. I'm going to try to get a flight. So 2.5 hours later, 2:30 in the morning, I'm at the counter. Can you get me on a flight? No, sir, we can't. I don't have any flights tomorrow. I don't have any flights the next day. I don't know. And the problem was they didn't have enough staff. This whole issue of flying is impossible. I took too much time on my story. One more time. Where should people go when they get to this HIA trade show to see?
Yeah. So in the rear of the area, in the trade show, there's going to be a manufacturing automation pavilion. In there, you're going to be able to meet manufacturers, companies like Orlicon, Metco, Designitronics, Contract Pharmacol, Waterlase Food, and these companies are crying for labor.
And also for workforce.
We're also going to have a demo area for the automation partners, so you're going to be able to see robots and cobots and, you know, cool stuff going on there. So it should be a great place, you know, both for the manufacturers who look to automate as well as the students that love technology.
Brian, give us the way to register one more time.
Sure. You're going to go directly to the Hot Pog Association website, and that is www.hia-li.org. It's free to register. I look forward to seeing everybody there, and you meet the right people. That's growth.
Okay. And folks, don't miss this. The HIA trade show, if you've never been, but also this manufacturing pavilion sounds very exciting. We got to go. We'll be back next week. If you have an idea for Radio Jobline, write to me, scottp118@gmail.com, and connect with me on LinkedIn because I post every show on LinkedIn. Have a great week, everybody. May
the
four winds blow you
safely home. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.